Hello, this is author and artist Bunny Michael. We all have a higher self, and we can access our higher self once we start unlearning the false beliefs from our culture and our trauma that taught us we're not enough. So get cozy and join us as I answer listeners' questions and we all unlearn from each other's problems. Welcome to XO Higher Self. Hello, everybody. How are you doing? How was your week? I'm doing pretty good. I have been feeling a bit lethargic because as of the day I'm recording this, it's probably been over a week since we have had a sunny day over here in upstate New York where I live. And it's hard for me to feel energized when I haven't gotten as much sun. It's hard to, you know, have a sunny disposition. I used to be really hard on myself for feeling tired during the winter months, especially like February, March, etc., when it's really hard to feel like, oh, it's fun to be cold. but then it's like, hello, we are nature, of course. We're going to feel the changes of the season. And it's so wild how easy it is to forget that we are nature. We think nature is this thing that we go visit sometimes, LOL. And I think that is a result of generations of disconnection due to technology and industrialization. And also, when we build a world where we are conditioned by our LHBs, we lose a vital connection to our true selves. A hierarchical framework for organizing society creates so much isolation, not only from each other in the sense that we see one another as competition, or we're always looking at other people and looking at them from the lens of, am I better than this person? Are they better than me? But also isolation from the wisdom of nature. We can learn so much about ourselves simply by observing our environment, by observing the seasons, the natural cycles of death and rebirth, observing the beauty and the uniqueness and the diversity. You know, I often talk a lot about beauty and how we see ourselves in this hierarchical framework of beauty when we are all part of nature. And we wouldn't really look at a flower compared to another flower and be like, oh, this flower is way more beautiful than the other one. I mean, you might see something that you feel a special kinship to, you know, that's true. But I mean, when you really look at nature and just how magical it is and how amazing it is and how we are that too. We are part of that. We think about how our bodies work and the functioning of it. And I don't know, I'm just, sometimes it just really hits me and I'm just absolutely blown away about what amazing creatures we are and what a beautiful world we live in and how we're all part of it. And so when we're so wrapped up in how we're supposed to be feeling according to society, how productive we are supposed to be, when we come from a learned hierarchical belief that our productivity equals our value, of course, we're going to be hard on ourselves if we feel like staying in bed when the sun doesn't come up, or we're tired, or we need rest, or we need recuperation. But then it's like, who put that thought into my head? Who put that belief into my head? What voice is telling me that I need to put myself down or criticize myself or judge myself for not feeling motivated today? Well, guess what? You're not supposed to feel motivated every day, contrary to popular belief. You really are not, because that's not how we stay inspired. I like to think about motivation, I don't really like the word motivation because I think it has a lot of connotations to it, like you need to always be in the mood to do something. I like to think of it more in terms of inspiration, because even on the days where, say, for example, I really want to be motivated. I really want to be inspired. Maybe I'm in a rut. Maybe I've been having like a creative block or something. And I'm like, what's getting in my way? When I think about it as inspiration, I'm like, ooh, what could I look at or read about or maybe go see? Maybe I'm really lacking inspiration right now. Like maybe I need to go watch a movie that I find really inspiring, or maybe I need to listen to a podcast like this podcast that'll help me feel inspired to get back into connection to my higher self. Or maybe a lot of times we think that motivation means we need to be motivated to be productive. But the thing is a lot of times we need to be motivated to be restful. We need to be motivated or inspired to take a break, because actually being still and relaxing and being present is where we're downloading information and where we're giving ourselves a lot more space internally for those creative channelings to come in, for when those ideas come in. As somebody who very often has to think creatively, do a lot of writing, both for this podcast and for my Instagram and for my book and stuff, I can't tell you how helpful it has been for me to literally stop trying to get things done and just kind of trust the timing of when I'm going to come up with the idea or something, or when it's going to become clear. But I can tell the difference, I feel like, having done this for a while, between not feeling inspired and not feeling like the timing is right. When I'm not feeling inspired, it feels like I'm being really unkind to myself. I'm being really judgmental. I'm really anxious. I'm really stressed. But I can be inspired and also at the same time be like, okay, I trust that I'm enough and that I'm going to be able to write this thing when it's ready to come out. So I think there's just a really big difference between needing to always be productive and feeling connected and inspired by your higher self. Because when you're inspired by your higher self, a lot of times your higher self is going to be like, wait, now it's just not the right time. It'll come. Trust. Trust yourself. So I'm in one of those phases right now where it's been pretty gloomy weather-wise here. And I haven't really been feeling like getting out of bed as early as I normally do. And I'm just like, well, okay, that's the vibe right now. And I'm just going to trust. It's not always going to be like this. But I'm going to give myself grace for it. And I would highly encourage you to do the same. Also, one year I bought those lights, that you know those lights you can buy for seasonal depression. It's like supposed to mimic sunshine. Well, I have one of them. I got them 1 year, years ago. And then I put it in a drawer and I haven't taken it out since then. So maybe I should take that out. That's a pretty good reminder. Yeah, I'm going to look for that later today. I feel inspired to look for that light. All right. Shall we get to the question? I think so. Let's get it going. Subject: first queer breakup. She was my best friend in college, and I feel like it's still not over. Hi, Bunny. I've been listening to you for over 2 years. When I first found your podcast, I was going through my first breakup after moving to NYC in 2021. It was with this random guy I met on a dating app, and it was pretty meaningless, but took a toll on me. Your podcast gave me light at the end of the tunnel, and it felt like in no time I had moved on. Fast forward to the beginning of 2022, and one of my good friends from college, who moved to New Zealand to be with her girlfriend in 2019 when we graduated, was finally able to leave the country due to COVID restrictions. We'll call her Sky. It was the first time in 2 years that Sky came back to the US and was able to see her family and friends. She took a trip to New York to visit one of her best friends, and the two of them ended up coming by my house to see me. It was the first time I saw her or even really held a conversation with her in over 3 years, and it felt like nothing had changed. Everything was so natural with her, and I caught her giving me the eyes she always gave me in college. I thought I was straight in school, but I always had flirty feelings towards her. And she would always look at me in that way, like she liked me. She's been openly gay her whole life, and I had just started exploring my sexuality after college, but never had a serious relationship or really did anything super romantic with any girl or non-cis man. When I saw her that day, I felt an equal amount of love and pain. I knew Skye would be going back to New Zealand to be with her girlfriend, but it was also in that moment that I knew I had feelings for her. I let it go, and she went back to California to be with her mom until her trip's time was up. Toward the end of her visit in February, Skye's girlfriend broke up with her. She wasn't going back to New Zealand. She reached out to me in pain, and I extended my best friend efforts to support her. I was so shocked. I thought they were going to be with each other for life, and I was equally secretly thrilled. What did this mean for us? I brushed the thought aside because I just wanted to be there for her as a friend. I had no intention of confessing my feelings at a time of such vulnerability for her. Over the next couple of months, she spent time on Discord with my friends and me. We'd hang out, game, laugh. It was the happiest I've felt in years. To once again be connected and close to this girl who I always felt good around was so beautiful for me. I was so happy to have her back in my life and finally back in the same continent. Since she was in California, I suggested she hang out with my friend, who we'll call Kat, who also lived there. Some backstory on Kat. I actually met her in 2009 online, so she had been in my life even longer than Skye. Kat lightly suggested throughout our time on Discord with Skye that she had a little crush. I thought nothing of it because she wasn't at all Skye's type. And quite frankly, I always had this suppressed feeling of superiority to Kat. I never felt any competition from her because I felt we were incomparable. And I've always been generally confident in myself. I had mentioned to Kat before that I've always had feelings for Skye. I thought that was enough for her to not do anything, but the morning Skye was coming over to her house, Kat FaceTimed me. We got high together, and she basically coerced me into saying I would be okay if she did anything with Skye. I knew deep down they wouldn't. Boy, was I wrong. I'll cut to the chase. When they hung out in person, they hooked up. The worst part was that I was hanging out on a Discord video with them together in person, and I fell asleep on the call. When I woke up at 2 a.m., they were still on video and in bed together. They looked extremely close and touchy, and I completely shut down. I left the call texting Kat, "I'm really uncomfortable right now," before crying myself to sleep. Kat called me the next morning, and we talked it through. I told her I was extremely upset with them being together like that. She knew I had feelings for Skye, but because I said it was fine if they did anything, I really screwed myself over, and I felt she took advantage of that. I'm very monogamous in my feelings, so the thought of this even being a careless hookup really caused me a lot of pain. I couldn't quite get over it. I talked it through so many times with Kat, but I couldn't look at Skye the same. I ended up distancing myself from both of them the entire month of May 2022. The problem was I didn't explain to Skye what was happening. I felt like I couldn't because the problem was that I really, really liked her. It wasn't until she and Kat got together that it all made sense to me and that I felt so sure of my feelings. I didn't feel like I could tell Skye because of how terrified I was of ruining our 7-year friendship with my feelings, especially when it was so soon after her breakup with her long-term girlfriend. I totally shut down. I had no idea what to do, so I just ghosted. The situation is way more complex than just this because one of my best friends from college previously cut me out in March 2022, and Kat remained friends with them in front of my face. That alone was so hurtful. So this was Skye was just the cherry on top. I decided I couldn't be friends with Kat anymore, and I reached back out to Skye with the truth. Through tears, I admitted I had feelings for her, and that's why I disappeared. I expected a quite uncomfortable conversation with her and possibly for our friendship to end, but her expression softened and she looked at me with so much love. She said, "Jem, I've loved you since I met you." I couldn't believe it, and I don't think she could either. It felt too good to be true, but it confirmed all my suspicions about her giving me those eyes. She just had no clue I had feelings for her because I only ever dated guys. We started seeing each other in July 2022. She moved to Maine where she grew up, got a new job, and restarted her life on her own. I was so hesitant to proceed with her. I knew she was still in recovery from her breakup and the trauma of being stuck in New Zealand during a world pandemic, hours and hours away from all her friends and family. But she was so eagerly wanting to be with me, I succumbed and fell in love. Over the next 10 months or so, we traveled back and forth between NYC and Maine to see each other. It was the most beautiful experience I had ever had. She is my favorite person, and she always has been. Our ways of loving were so compatible, it was something I never experienced with a man, and truly still don't think I ever will. I began to totally accept myself as a queer woman, even debating if I was a lesbian because of how intense and wonderful it all felt. I was very adamant about us not being exclusive during our time together. The long distance was difficult, and I knew I wanted to give her space to be single as she recovered from her breakup. On the other hand, she wanted to be with me, and only me. She started to slowly open up the non-exclusivity, and over time, I was leaning more toward the exclusivity aspect of it as well. When May 2023 rolled around, we broke up. She told me she didn't think she could give me what I was looking for. She realized she hadn't recovered from her last breakup and had a lot of things to work out. It made complete sense to me, and I had to respect her decision. She stopped sharing her location with me. I felt abandoned, and we moved our contact to just the weekends. I found myself waiting around all week to hear from her on Saturdays and Sundays. It was becoming a vicious cycle of pain, and I realized I was incapable of just being her friend. The worst part is that we both still loved each other and wanted to be together. Although initiated by her, the breakup felt impossible for both of us. She still wanted to be in my life with less pressure to be my partner, but I couldn't let go of the romantic feelings I had for her. I haven't spoken to her in over 3 months, since June, the day before my birthday, when I asked her for space because it was impossible for me to just be her friend. She told me she would respect that and wouldn't reach out unless I did. I was hesitant about leaving it at that, so open-ended, but I didn't know what else to do, and I needed to get my head straight and try to move on. I've now been sitting on so many letters I've written to her. I've written and rewritten them all summer without her. I really want to send them, but I'm so scared. I'm almost positive nothing has changed. I'm positive she still feels the same. She wants to be with me. But the timing is just so bad with the long distance and her last breakup. I feel I can't live without her. But with her, my life like this, I feel so much pain. Then again, without her in my life, I feel the same amount of pain. Neither of us were willing to move to be together either, which feels like the biggest indication that I need to move on. But Bunny, I just can't. I'm sure you might understand, or maybe some other listeners do, but the pain of my first queer breakup has consumed me whole. I've been told by so many of my queer friends that the first one is always the worst, but I don't see any more for me in the future. I think she's perfect for me, but people keep reminding me that if she's not ready to be with me, then she isn't perfect for me right now. I've been trying to move forward, letting go of this lack of control I feel, but I can't stop checking her public work Twitter and listening to the songs she does on Spotify. 3 months, and I feel like it's gotten harder for me. I feel like I've tried everything, textbook breakup healing stuff, but this all feels so, so wrong. I love her to the deepest part of me. I still feel so connected to her in a way I've never experienced. I have a 12-hour long I'm Sad playlist of songs that make me cry and think of her. I feel so stupid and hopeless. I know it's only been 3 months, but there's something in me that I don't think will ever let me let this go. I've never been so sure about my love for someone. I trust her so much. I feel so good when I'm with her. She is communicative and honest and open. We have so many similar interests. I have to stop here or I'll go on forever. I'm just totally in love and I don't want to lose her. My mom, who has no experience being gay, tells me to move on and get over it. I keep trying to tell her queer relationships are nothing like straight ones, but she urges me that love is love and that I'm just experiencing a regular breakup. I know in my heart it's not that. I feel in my gut that Sky still wants to be with me someday, but someday isn't enough for me to hold on like this. I'm so torn between hope and wearing my heart on my sleeve, telling her what I want, how I feel, being totally honest, and just moving forward without her. But the fact that we stopped talking per my request and she said she wouldn't reach out to me unless I did makes me feel like the ball's in my court. I want to make a move. I've been avoiding writing this to you for so long. I didn't think I ever would, but I feel like you're the best person to reach out to in this situation. Do you have any advice? What are your thoughts on this situation, considering I've never been in a queer relationship before? Am I just being dramatic and experiencing my first gay breakup? Or is what I'm feeling real and worth resurfacing with Sky? Thank you so much for taking the time to read and listen to this. I'm so grateful for your podcast and your kind soul. You keep me going. Hi, love. I'm so sorry that this has been a difficult time for you and a really hard breakup. When I first read your letter, I wondered to myself why you felt that giving me that whole backstory of how you came together from seeing each other after so many years when Sky was in New Zealand to feeling jealous and betrayed by your friend hooking up with them to feeling like you could no longer be friends with that friend anymore, Kat, and giving up that friendship before you were really honest about your feelings with Sky, and then the two of you getting together, and then this being your first queer relationship, and then on top of that, the obstacle of being long distant. Then I thought, it seems like these obstacles that you overcame to make this relationship work, all of the different obstacles that you had to get through in order to finally come together is a big part of the narrative between the two of you and a big part of why all of this is so hard and so difficult and so challenging. This relationship took some time because it inspired you to know yourself more, you know, to understand your needs and your desires, to expand your understanding of yourself as a queer person. The reason why queer people say that the first queer breakup is the hardest is because of the profoundly transformative experience it is to be in your first queer relationship. It's the very first time to experience that kind of safe space to explore your authenticity and to get to know a deeper part of yourself. Moving forward with your first queer relationship is facing the expectations that you had for yourself or that were put on you in a heteronormative society and saying, no, I want more than that. And even though being honest about my true feelings is terrifying and vulnerable, my happiness is worth it. And if you take into account the friendship that you had to let go of in order to really understand your feelings for Sky, and if you have to take into account the long distance and thinking about what your family would think or really trusting yourself, you know, all of these things combined were parts of yourself that you had to come to terms with. On the surface, we think we are doing these very vulnerable things for the person that we're in love with. But really, we're doing it for ourselves. Really, the queer relationship is the medium in which we are unlearning limiting beliefs about ourselves. And it absolutely feels wonderful to be with someone we feel we can be authentic with, who gets us, a person where we feel seen and inspired to grow. We think, yes, with this person, I am more self-actualized because I can really be myself. From the higher self perspective, falling in love with someone means they are a portal to the awareness within us that love is real, that love is within us, that we are whole and lovable. Their love, this person's love, takes us to that consciousness within ourselves. But the problem comes in when we mistake the portal to that awareness as our only portal to the awareness of our own wholeness, our only way to connect to the consciousness of love. And so when we go through a breakup, we think that without them, I can never feel that way again. I can never know myself that way again. I can never feel like I can have that sort of connection again with anybody. because it was so unique. It was so special. It was something I had never experienced before. And it was all because of that person rather than something that that person awakened within you. Just as your other queer friends said to you, the fact that your ex cannot give you what you need means they are not perfect for you anymore. What you imagine in your mind that you need in order to be okay is a fantasy, right? What you imagine that Sky can do for you right now is actually not based in reality. It's an ideal. It's a concept that is no longer possible. And perhaps it never really was a sustainable thing. But what is sustainable is the opening that that relationship sparked in yourself. What is eternal is the self-actualization that you are now on and the path towards that. And you can find those portals and that inspiration to yourself in other relationships in the future because now you know yourself better. So I get it when you meet somebody and you say, no one ever is going to love me the way that that person loved me, or I'm never going to feel the way I felt about that person with somebody else. That is an understandable thing to feel because you had never felt that way before, right? But the truth is what that person did for you is open something within you that is still open and still accessible and still amazing. And now you can continue on a path to really hone in on that strength and that spirit, that spark that is still very much alive in you. When you play that sad song list, that 12-hour sad song list, and long to be with them, what you're longing for is an idea. It's an idea. It's a feeling. It's the way that they made you feel about yourself. Because if you were actually with them, they would show you that they actually can't make you feel that way right now because they can't meet your needs, because they can't be with you. So as tempting as it is to listen to a 12-hour sad song list, this is not helping, right? It's definitely not helping. If you want to not fantasize about this, not stay in that headspace, not idealize this person, listening to a 12-hour Spotify list is definitely not going to be a helpful tool in changing those thought patterns. The grief of this realization is really difficult to go through. It is a profound loss to lose a relationship that you really, really valued. And it is going to take time to process this. This is like a long story, you know, just like your letter was long. It's representative of the fact that there's been so many iterations of your relationship, so many ups and downs, so many unknowns, and then security, and then insecurity, and back and forth, and back and forth. So it makes sense that it's going to take time for this grief and the bad feelings of this grief to evolve. The way that you can help it is by remembering that this ideal that you keep replaying in your mind, that Sky represents this person that can make you feel a certain way, and is the only person, I just want you to really see what it is you need to do to start changing that narrative from I need Sky to be okay to Sky really inspired me to look within myself and discover something about myself that's really beautiful. And I'm going to continue to make really authentic connections like that in my life. For now, it's not with Sky, but maybe further on down the line, it's possible. But on a very real level, there's a lot of amazing people out there that I know I'm going to be able to connect with in the future too. And I can really honor our connection and see how much it helped me grow to know myself and feel proud of that. While at the same time knowing that the universe is saying we need to be on different paths. The universe put this person in your life as a medium for growth and healing, from every stage of the relationship, from the initial trusting of your heart that this is a person you wanted to be with, from the ups and downs of actually being in the relationship, from every moment of joy together to every difficult conversation, to the disillusion of the relationship and what it's teaching you about giving yourself the care and nurturing as you move through it and trusting that what is happening is exactly what you need to stay on this path of authenticity. You are a beautiful person who will continue to meet people that inspire you, that love you, that care for you, and you will be that person for them too. It's okay to feel sad about this, but these feelings are temporary. You are embarking on an even bigger transformation. A breakup is an opportunity for profound spiritual growth. Set yourself up for success. I'm sending you lots of love. You got this. Hello, EXO Higher Self fam. It's Bunny here. I am so thrilled to announce my debut book, Hello Higher Self, An Outsider's Guide to Loving Yourself in a Tough World, is now available for pre-order. This book is the essential manual for unlearning your limiting beliefs that have been ingrained in you by the toxicity of our culture and your trauma and your socialization. We all have to unlearn this stuff so we can channel the power of our higher self. And everyone who pre-orders this book will receive a special free gift from me to be announced shortly. So hurry to the pre-order link in the show notes and get yourself a copy. I cannot wait for you to read it. Next question. Subject: family estrangement advice. Hi, Bunny. Thank you so much for reading this message and taking the time to share your loving voice with this community of healers. I wanted to share this question with you, but also to see if someone in the community has any advice if they've experienced something similar. I went no contact with my family over 2 years ago after coming to terms with the emotional abuse I experienced as an adolescent and was continuing to experience at the time in my early 20s. After working through the grief of this experience with my therapist, I still get caught up in feelings of guilt for doing what I did or not trying harder to make things work before. Sometimes sitting with the grief doesn't feel like enough. I want to fix it. I feel particularly distraught about this because I also feel like, in the spirit of ending cycles of harm, I'm just continuing a pattern that already exists in my family. My own mother was abused by her mother and became estranged from her when she was in her early 20s. I don't believe my mother had properly worked through the trauma and instead victimized herself. Although I'm hurt by a lot of her actions, I still have a lot of compassion and love for her, and I understand why she is the way she is. I also have very little hope that she will be able to take accountability or even simply release the idea of controlling me if I enter her life again. I'm confused about what the right thing to do is. I want to keep myself safe, but have lost a lot of trust in my family and realize my values don't align or come into conflict with theirs. Despite this, I'm holding on to the wish to repair my relationship with them and don't even know where to begin with that. A lot of podcasts and articles about reconciling estranged relationships don't really talk about how to navigate the situation when the people you're estranged from are abusive. Speaking to some of my friends about this makes me feel like I've done something wrong. A lot of times I feel judged or misunderstood by them. Any wisdom that you or someone else could share would be highly appreciated. Thank you so much. Sending so much love to anyone who this message resonated with. Hi, sweetheart. I'm so sorry about what you've gone through with your family. It took a lot of self-love and courage to begin the process of putting your emotional safety first and taking space so that you didn't further traumatize yourself. Although I understand why you might be correlating you cutting off contact with your family and your mother doing the same thing with her mom, I see a very different situation because your way of coping isn't just to run away from your family, it's actually to have a deeper understanding of your family by taking space and going to therapy and doing that inner work. The thing is, while you were in contact, it was so overwhelming to you that you couldn't properly address what needed to be addressed so you can heal and have the emotionally safe life you deserve, that everyone deserves. You are ending the cycle by looking within. It makes sense that you still love your family and have compassion for the fact that your mom is also a wounded person who hasn't been able to address those wounds in a way as not to perpetuate harm and toxicity. And it's a hard thing to accept that you can't fix it for her, no matter what you say or do, no matter if you are in her life or not. Perhaps a way forward is to consider a try at reconciliation in a mediated format, like bringing her into a therapy session. I don't think it's safe for you to reconnect without outside help, simply for the fact that there has been no indication that she is taking any accountability. And the last thing that would help this situation is for you to be re-traumatized. Often we don't realize that the loving thing to do for someone is to not give them an opportunity to cause you further harm, as sad as that is. You know, sometimes what motivates us to cut contact with people who are harmful is anger. It's like a catalyst to make a change. But what keeps us safe over time is love. Love says no to loveless behavior. Love doesn't enable abuse. The choice you made to take care of yourself and to heal is the most loving thing you could have done for your family. It's your higher self that guided you to make those changes. No one taught you how to do that. That's your inner wisdom. That's the wisdom that I'm always trying to talk about on this podcast that we all have. You know, it's pretty amazing how so many of us have been in really difficult circumstances in childhood or in relationships, and we didn't have the tools or the knowledge or the education to know what to do or how to get out or how to heal. And yet there is this voice inside of us that was like a guiding light that helped us find our way out despite the circumstances, despite all of the challenges, despite not even feeling like we knew we were going to survive. Well, where do you think that wisdom came from? Who put that in you? No one. That was something that is your innate wisdom inside. That is your higher self. And that is the voice of love. That voice of love that says, no, you don't deserve this. Even though this is really hard, even though it's really difficult to cut things off, even though you feel guilty, even though there's shame about this, or you weren't taught how to do this, you have this inner courage, this inner wisdom, this inner power. We all do. And the further away we get from toxic cycles and behavior patterns, the easier it is to listen to that voice. That's why it's not helpful to put ourselves back in situations to be re-traumatized. It doesn't help anybody, actually, because the whole point of healing is to connect to our higher self. Sometimes that means still being able to be in a relationship with somebody, and sometimes it doesn't. And the way that you can tell is that if I'm in this relationship with this person, am I still able to connect with my higher self with this person? Is this relationship hindering my connection to my higher self or supporting my connection to my higher self? And sometimes it's not that easy to notice, right? Because that doesn't mean you only have relationships with people where it's super easy, because sometimes conflict or things that are challenging for us actually helps us get a deeper understanding of our higher self, right? Sometimes when we rub up against other people's stuff, we learn compassion, we expand our perception, we expand our understanding of how our own wounds show up. But then there are some relationships where it's really not conducive because it's just that toxic, it's abusive, where you're not able to be safe, emotionally safe in that space. And that's why I was saying if there was a possibility for reconciliation, I think it would have to at least initially be looked into through the support of a mediator, the support of a therapist, somebody who can look out for your emotional safety and the emotional safety in the room when that conversation happens. So I just want you to know that you deserve to give yourself grace and you deserve to give yourself softness and nurturing and love, and just be very wary of the voice in your head that is criticizing you for taking care of yourself, because that is not the voice of your higher self. And I understand you not feeling understood by friends. Sometimes I think especially when we're sensitive about something in our life and we try to explain something to a friend and they don't seem to get it, it can be hard. Just remember, a lot of people, they don't necessarily understand what you need from them in certain moments. And if they are saying something that feels insensitive, don't be afraid to be honest and be like, you know, that felt insensitive, or this is the type of support I need here. Don't be afraid. Because I don't think anybody that is really, really your friend wants you to feel in any way bad about the choices you've made to take care of your emotional, physical, and mental health. Because that's not really a friend. So it seems to me that if you need more support from your friends, it might look like you being more specific about the type of support, because that's what you deserve. And sometimes our friends really don't know how to be there for us unless we get more clear on it, because they haven't had the same experiences and they can't read our minds. So I just wanted to put that in there too. Okay, babe. I'm sending you so much love. Take care. I think about this a lot, pretty much every day, almost every day. Well, especially when I'm working on the podcast, is that we need a real paradigm shift when it comes to how we define love in our culture, because we're taught to see love as this possession that can be given or taken away. Like when someone loves you, they are giving you something that you don't already have. And then they also have the power to take it away if they stop loving you. Rather, I see loving someone as affirming something that is already true, as affirming somebody's worth, as seeing them in their wholeness, as seeing their higher self. The way that they treat you is grounded in the consciousness of your wholeness. It represents that love, that truth of who you are. And that's why it feels so good, because it's like when you're with somebody that loves you, they really see you and they are reminders of the fact that you're lovable. But that doesn't mean you weren't lovable until they came into your life to remind you of that, right? So love is really a shift in your consciousness. And that's why a lot of times love, to do the loving thing, means ending a relationship. Because when a relationship can no longer support the awareness of each other's wholeness. When there's a dynamic happening where that love is not, does not have space to exist, then the loving thing to do is to separate so that you can stay in that awareness. But so much of what we're taught about love is when somebody loves you, it's like something they're giving you. They're giving you their love. And when they take it away, you've lost something essential in yourself. And I know it can feel that way, right? It's, of course. I'm not saying that there isn't a really strong attachment when somebody like that comes into your life. Of course, it's painful to lose that form of that. I like to call them that portal of love. Just because they're gone does not mean that you are any less lovable or any less whole. They were just helping you see something that was already in you. And a lot of times it's easier to see the love in somebody when we're not with them anymore, when we do have a boundary to where we can think loving thoughts about them rather than just whatever crappy thing they did to us that day. Where we can actually send them love, send them healing, hold them in our hearts and honor their higher selves while at the same time being like, I can really only do that if I'm not talking to you. Because when I'm talking to you, you're doing everything that's sabotaging that. Or maybe even something that happens between us. Maybe we trigger each other so much that it's not congruent to our higher selves really thriving. So yeah, love, love, love. Which brings me to this week's higher self mantra. Yay! I hope these mantras have been helpful to you and you're thinking about them on the days that we're not talking here. All right, so this week's higher self mantra is: love is a state of consciousness that I can access at any time. I'll say it again. Love is a state of consciousness that I can access at any time. Because love is within you. You are love. Love is a shift in your awareness. It's a state of consciousness that you can access at any time. So this week, if you're in a funk, if it's really hard to feel like good, maybe something happens, maybe somebody, I don't know, runs a stop sign and you just feel really disregarded, or maybe you get some bad news, or maybe you just wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Say this mantra to yourself: love is a state of consciousness that I can access at any time. And remember, there is love within you. You have a power within you that is so courageous and so magical and connected to the beauty and the creativity of the entire universe. And you're just this amazing creature that deserves to experience the fullness of yourself, the fullness of love, and to not get bogged down with these thoughts that aren't really helping you in your life, with all of these LHBs that are constantly trying to steal your joy or constantly trying to look at the lack in every situation. Love is a state of consciousness that I can access at any time. All right? Don't forget, I just want to put another reminder that if you are thinking about sending in a question, please do. You can email us a question. There is no subject that's off limits. And you can email that to xohigherself@gmail.com. You can send us a voice memo. I love getting the email letters, obviously. I also really like getting the voice memos because I think it's cool to hear everybody else this voice. I get that sometimes that feels harder or more vulnerable, but If you are thinking about sending a question in, I love hearing your voice, and it's a nice break from my voice, right? Let's be real. Okay, babes, I love you so much, and so does your higher self. Take care. I'll see you next week. Bye. If you have a question that you would like to be featured on the podcast, you can write us an email or record a voice memo and send it to xohigherself@gmail.com. For bonus content, including early access to weekly episodes, ad-free episodes, and bonus episodes, be sure to sign up on our Patreon as a subscriber at patreon.com/xohigherself. Or if you listen to this podcast in the Apple Podcast app, you can easily sign up as an Apple subscriber on our show page and get access to that same bonus content. Thanks, y'all. This podcast is recorded in Kingston, New York, and produced by Kara Gilvey and me, Bunny Michael. Original music and sound mixing by Michael Bihari.